Hi, I'm a fascist Barbie, Allison.
And I'm writing my short story on a typewriter so it can feel more Lovecraftian. I'm Evan.
And we are Cheryl's Bitches. Ooh, this episode, we're getting to like the good stuff. I'm excited.
We really are. What an episode.
Got lots of people being chaotic. It's more of the, I guess, I mean, there's some of both always, but it's more high school. At least it's like all focused on the high schoolers.
Yeah, this felt more, they like knew the Black Hood was over, so they like had to pivot back to the more like high school drama stuff going on in their lives. Even though it was still like ridiculous for a normal high school teen, the high school drama, but for Riverdale, this was peak high school drama.
This is chapter 23, The Blackboard Jungle. It starts with the Jughead voiceover,
Bobby.
Which we love. I love that they got us to like the Jughead voiceovers, but by taking them away for like one episode.
I know.
And he's talking about how bad things always happen in Riverdale.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, true.
Yeah, and he's like, but you know, the Black Hood got caught, he got shot, so we're putting him away, just like all of our Christmas decorations. And we're moving back to our like normal small town intrigues. And as he says this, we see Veronica watch her parents take a meeting with Mayor McCoy, and then it pans back to Veronica and she's like a knowing, sinister grin, which was a very fun moment.
She finally great knows acting. Something. She's like, I know one thing.
I know things.
Thriving. We get to see at Thistle House, remember the name.
I never do.
Penelope is bragging to Cheryl about how much money she makes as a quote woman of the night, which is just a bold, like she's straight up bragging. She's like, I'm raking in the dollars. Like, okay, does your daughter need to know this? Probably not. And Cheryl is mad that she's living in a bordello.
It's so funny.
You know, high school drama. Don't you hate when your mom
is a prostitute? You just hate it.
In your house.
Yeah, Cheryl's like, oh my god, yay, you made so much money, you can stop being a prostitute now. And Penelope's like, why would I do that?
Thriving, getting the bag.
Anyways, then Hiram and Hermione talk to Veronica. And they're like, we're just making sure that you're doing okay. And Veronica's like, oh, you want to make sure I'm still sticking with the plan? But we don't know what the plan is. And then they're like, yeah, you know, you're going to be in the thick of it. And she says, that's what you said when I wanted to go shopping in Soho during Occupy Wall Street. And I was fine.
This bitch, literally last episode, I was just editing it. We were like, Veronica literally pivots between being like, oh, I care about poor people, to like the most like egregious displays of wealth and like no knowledge, like just ignorance of the world. And then she's literally like, Fred can't pay his medical bills. You think that's right? And then she says this.
Remember last episode when her mom called her a communist?
She's no communist. She is no communist.
Also, something I noticed, Soho isn't exactly like super close to where the Occupy Wall Street protests were happening. So I was like, why is this an issue? Of course you were fine. You were like three neighborhoods away, but whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. Hiram was probably concerned because they probably wanted to kill her as like a...
No, they definitely did. She was part of the 1%. Anyways, then she's like, yes, I'll keep my classmates from revolting when the news breaks. So mysterious. What does that mean? We might find out later.
Then we're at Archie's and Fred says that the medical bill has been paid and they're just gonna like go with it, I guess.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, did you tell anyone about this, and Archie's like, I did tell Veronica. So they immediately put it together, which, like, obviously. And Archie is leaving with his guitar because they remembered Archie's supposed to be a musician. And even Fred's like, haven't seen you with that guitar in a while.
It is, he's very funny. And Archie's just like, yeah, I've been busy.
Starting neo-Nazi groups.
And then he says that over break he wrote a lot more songs and he's getting back into music and might be starting a band, the Fredheads. And Fred's like, okay, then just go to the garage. There's a reason I soundproofed that shit.
He's tired of hearing Archie's music, let's be honest.
Anyways, then Archie's walking to school and someone takes some photos of him and you're like, ooh, weird. I will say it kind of reminded me of, you know, in NCIS when they do the like commercial break transition and it's all the photos. That's what this looked like to me.
I'm glad they revealed it this episode because I still was like, what is this?
No, me too. I was like, what is happening?
At school, Archie's like, did you pay my dad's medical bill, Veronica? And she immediately says that she did, so at least she isn't actually trying to hide it, I guess.
This is her parents did, and I was like, mm.
Well, it's her parents' money.
Yeah, but then she like does straight up say that they were happy to help and they had the means.
Well, because they're just pawns now, don't you know?
Anyways, I was just like, Veronica, I see you. I see the smidgen of truth, the kernel of truth that you're telling. Anyways, then they start making out and walk into the lounge while making out.
Instinct is to like travel while making out. Like, you just start walking together into the student lounge.
Anyways.
Student lounge sound effect.
We do. Then Principal Weatherby comes on the announcements and announces that Southside High is getting shut down. So they're transferring all of the students to other schools in the district, including some to Riverdale. And Veronica immediately is like, guys, it's going to be okay. And I was like, wow, this is so subtle. You're so good at this.
Subtle mastermind of manipulation. Like, girl, at least be like, what do we think? This is crazy, right? Like, get Betty to talk first or something, because it's not like Betty's gonna be like, throw them out, you know? Like, get, I don't know, ask someone who's gonna have a positive view to like get the ball rolling.
Anyways, so Veronica's bad at this. Then shirtless Reggie playing basketball is pissed, and Midge walks up to Cheryl and is just like, Cheryl, what's going on? And Cheryl says, hell no. My home life is a Dickensian nightmare and I won't have my school turn into one too. Which I was like, this is ridiculous. But then I was like, no, actually her home life is a Dickensian nightmare. Like, this is what would happen in a Dickens novel.
Yeah. Honestly, it's like, okay, let Cheryl have something. She needs a win right now. So they find out that, they're like, is Jughead, does that, before we see Cheryl, they're like, is Jughead coming back, do we know? And it's like, they said they were going to all these different schools, but of course we see at Southside High, Jughead is typing on his little typewriter outside.
Tony's reading his short story and she says it's very Lovecraftian.
Gotta be on the typewriter for that. And then Sweet Pea runs out of the building and is like, haven't you heard? They're shutting this trash pit down and we're all going to Riverdale High. And I'm like, how did they find out all that info? Because you would imagine over the speakers, they announce whatever we're shutting down. How do they know exactly what school they're going to? They found out real quick.
My thing is, yeah, A. B, why are they like, the school is shutting down, everyone needs to get the fuck out right now. Tomorrow you're going to a different high school.
9 o'clock in the morning. Like, it's like first period.
Yeah, I was like, you would think you would at least like finish the day. Also, you probably need to give people like advanced warning that their school is shutting down and they're going to a different high school, more than just like tomorrow you're going to like Greendale. Like, no. Yeah.
Well, they're very well, Sweet Pea is very excited because they were like, we could go to an actual school that has books and like isn't shitty. I'm like, okay, fair enough. And I said the gang is all going to Riverdale, and I just meant that as like Tony, Sweet Pea, Fangs, and Jughead, but they are an actual gang. So
that's funny. Anyways, then Hiram and Hermione talk with Mayor McCoy, and Mayor McCoy's like, it's handled. Very Olivia Pope. And but Mayor McCoy is also concerned about getting angry calls from parents, and Hermione's like, don't worry, that won't last. And then they reveal their plan is that they're going to shut down Southside High, which they've done. And then they're going to quietly buy the land that Southside High is on. And for Mayor McCoy's part in facilitating this, she's going to get a generous donation to her reelection fund. So that's the plan.
I love that this is the second time she's accepted a bribe from Hiram Lodge.
Yeah.
Queen of morality. True. Then we see Betty getting home, and she hears like
creaking. Well, okay. To be fair for Mayor McCoy, this is New York politics.
Yeah.
It's New York politics. There's be bribes. There's gonna be weird, funky stuff going on.
Objectively true, but I feel like Mayor McCoy gets like a good edit if we're talking about like in reality TV terms, because like I feel like we're never actually supposed to like eat her. Like, yeah. Sometimes she's not the best, but like we're supposed to end up, I'm thinking like next season especially, I'm like, we're supposed to like end up being like, oh, like hope she ends up happy and like living her life, and I'm like, this is not
happy not living your life behavior.
And yeah. Especially when didn't last season Archie say like, I campaign for your mom, Josie?
Yes he did.
And it's supposed to be like, oh, like the humble true Riverdalians like all got behind her and went door to door, and then she's just like corrupt. But that's okay, she slayed, I guess.
She did slay.
So then we see Betty at home. She hears like creaking of the wood and is like, what's going on? She whips out her pepper spray. I'm like, respect that you finally got a weapon. That's smart, Betty. You need that. But it is not a intruder. It's Polly at home picking up some stuff from her old bedroom. And she's not pregnant anymore because she had the twins.
And she also lost all of the baby weight.
Well, they feed the farm. The farm knows how to, I don't know.
That's true. The farm knows how to get you skinny fast, I guess.
The best thing is that just, but he's like, how are they? Like, are you healthy? Are they healthy? What are their names? And Polly says, Juniper and Dagwood. And Betty immediately just goes like, oh my God.
She has the most disgusted look on her face. It's so funny.
Contempt in her voice. Like, she's not even trying to be nice. She's like, oh my.
I was fully waiting for her to go, do you hate your children? Like.
That's what she was thinking. Betty is, like, trying to convince her to stay. So she's just picking up stuff. And Polly's like, no, I'm like staying in the farm because our parents suck. And Betty gets mad and takes the creepy little nightlight. Don't you remember that from last season too? Takes the creepy nightlight that looks like a baby back from her. So
she also, something I noted, says that Polly says that the farm leaders are telling her to severance all ties. And Betty is like, oh, you mean your cult leaders? And Polly's like, no, it's not a cult.
Which means it's a cult.
Yeah, obviously. Anyways, then Betty's like, you're being selfish. And Polly's like, nope, bye. Don't tell mom I was here. Yeah. Then Archie is like, walk in and listen to music. And a man in a suit walks up to him. And he's like, Archie Andrews. And Archie's like, the fuck? So he introduces himself as Special Agent Adams with the FBI. And asks if they can go for a walk because he was born and raised in Riverdale. So they assigned him to the case of looking into the potential crimes of Hiram Lodge.
I love that in this universe, the FBI sends agents to the town they're from. This happens again later with a maybe more important character. And yes. I'm like, I love this little like FBI, like being like, just go on home, like have fun. Like, I don't think that's how that works.
FBI, proponents of community policing. Anyways, and so he's like, I think you can get like information I need on the crimes of Hiram Lodge. Nick St. Clair was in a crash and it's sus and we need to figure out what's going on there. And Archie's like, is this legal? Like, can you talk to me? And Adams is basically just like, don't worry about it.
He wants to know his rights. He's smart.
It was just very funny to me.
I like, so Agent Adams is like, Hiram might be connected to organized crime. And Archie's like, Hiram Lodge, or Mr. Lodge, because he's not going to say Hiram. He's like, Mr. Lodge is a businessman. Like, you did it. They never have a front or anything. He didn't tell you, oh, I'm in the mob. Then he must not be.
He is a businessman. But you know what his business is? Crime. His business is crime.
Yeah.
Anyways, then Fred gets home and he reveals that he found out that it was Hiram and Hermione that paid for his medical bills. So they worked out a deal and he's giving them a 20% share of Andrew's construction that he can pay off over time to like cover the cost of his hospital bill. And he's like, it's a great deal. I'm happy about it. And Archie's like, no, you can't do this. This is a bad idea, but like won't tell him why. And it's
well, he's like, funny. He's like, do you think it's a good idea to get further in with the Lodges? And I'm like, I love that he defended Hiram to Agent Adams. But as soon as like one person said, like, maybe he actually is a criminal, Archie's like, oh shit, like we might be in trouble, Dad.
I love that Archie just goes with whatever the last person told him.
That's real. Wow, Archie meant to be together. They both like have no actual values. It's just like the last thing they heard.
So true. So yeah. Anyways, then Betty's sitting in her kitchen and Alice gets home. And Alice is like, something's funky about this high school closure. Like, there's something going on. This isn't normal. And Betty's just like, what? Because she's distracted by Polly's appearance. And she, like, wants to tell Alice about Polly. But then Alice is really excited about the idea of Polly coming home. So Betty decides not to tell her. And it was actually kind of sad for me, actually. I was like, Alice just wants her family to be together. And her daughter's... Yeah.
It's easy to sympathize. I made a note later this episode, but you could just go ahead and say it here. Alice is at her best, not because she actually like does anything good. It's just like you feel so bad for her.
Yeah.
And you're like, aw, like I like her. Like
Alice stands are winning this episode, not because she's doing good things, just because the plot hates her. Anyways, I also wanted to note that Betty's outfit here and throughout this whole sequence so far in this episode has been really slay. It's like a pink sweater on top of a white blouse with like rhinestone-y things on the collar. It's really cute.
Slay. Mom chose my outfit. Core slay.
It's very mom chose my outfit. It's very I'm a sophomore in high school and my mom still dresses me.
So then we see Jughead talking to FP about Southside High getting shut down. The story is that Southside High is toxic because of the meth lab in the basement, which is hilarious for all the obvious reasons, but they literally say the meth lab in the basement. Like, this is just an established known fact.
No, my absolute favorite part is that Jughead goes, everyone, like, this is ridiculous. They were only making Jingle Jangle.
Like, this is clearly a farce, okay? They just made Jingle
Jangle. They weren't making that illegal drug in the basement. It was a different one.
They're more innocent than guilty. But FP actually not feeling that way is like, this is good because you could like go to a better school. And he thinks all of Jughead's angst is because he'll have to go back to school with Betty.
Yeah. Anyways, then Betty shows up. And Jughead's like, great, I wanted to clear the air before I came back. And Betty's like, yeah, I really don't care. Can you put me in touch with your social worker? I want to find my missing brother.
Using them for the social worker connection. She says, Jughead's kind of like, why are you looking for your brother now? And she says, I know my mom's crazy, but she's also really sad.
Yes.
Which I feel like, man, okay, I feel you. I understand, Alice. And she is literally trying to replace Polly with someone else, which is like, I understand the attempt, but it's like, That's not how human relationships work.
Concerning that you think that's how that works.
Yeah.
Anyways, then Archie has dinner with the Lodges. He's like, thanks so much for helping my dad. But isn't the high school closing right next to Sodale a bad thing? And Hiram says it's actually a good thing because, quote, drugs, gangs, and violence are bad for business.
Which, I mean...
fair. True. So true.
I do say, look, Archie is better at this than Veronica. I'll say that. He is
much better at this than Veronica.
Because although it's not, like, exactly subtle, it comes off a lot more like Archie as, like, Veronica's boyfriend wants to pretend he, like, knows things about business. So he's like, isn't it bad for Sodale? It works.
It works a lot better. Also because I think it didn't, like, he didn't show up for dinner and just immediately before the food was even served be like, so, like, isn't it weird that crimes would be so easy to commit? Like, let's talk about that. Have you been involved in crimes? It'd be real easy for you. Like, which is what Veronica would do.
He does start asking about, like, oh, like, so the investors, like the Sinclairs, are okay with it? And the Lodges say that they've severed all ties with the Sinclairs. And Archie's like, oh, that's weird. And they're like, yeah. And then Nick got into this unfortunate accident. And Archie is sussed out to hell.
He is. Well, it's worse because they're bad at acting. Because they're like, yeah, we called him after the accident. And Archie's like, how did he get an accident? And they're like, it was a car crash in Vail. Or wait, was it a skiing accident? You know, I don't remember.
It's like, nice. You did. Believable.
Believable.
I feel like you would probably remember. Like.
Yeah. And then they were like, he was like, oh my God, is Nick okay? And they're like, well, I mean, I don't know. I guess he's good enough to go back to school. So.
And then
you know he's back in school. You probably know how he was injured. Like,
can't remember. So Archie goes home and then like he's like in bed and he turns over and takes the FBI card. So he's made a decision.
Yep. And then the Serpents arrive at Riverdale and there's a welcoming committee with Archie and Veronica and Kevin also randomly there. And then Veronica is like at a table and is like apparently working for the school now because she's like, here, I've like made a welcome table. You can find your locker number and your class schedule and like a list of activities to get involved in. And I'm like, shouldn't the school have like already sent this to these people?
School, like teachers, administrators, like, no, we'll put Veronica in charge of this. Well, they just found out yesterday, apparently, so.
That's true. They didn't really have much time. Anyways, then Cheryl arrives and screams, stand down, Ava Perone. I was fully waiting for, like, them to do a song from Avena later this episode, but I forgot this is, like, before they start randomly doing musical numbers every once in a while. Like, it kind of happens, but not as frequently.
Yeah. Cheryl is in this red knitted dress with like a thin red choker and like this giant spider brooch, which like was her thing, like spider brooches for this season. Like I don't remember them coming later.
I don't either. The also the placement, it's like on her shoulder. Like it's not like a normal brooch place. It's like it kind of looks like there's a spider on her shoulder. Which was just, it was very slay. Anyways, then Veronica says, Cheryl, no one invited fascist Barbie to the party. To which Cheryl says, wrong, Veronica. No one invited Southside scum to our school. Listen up, ragamuffins. I will not allow Rivendell High's above average GPA to suffer because of classrooms that are overcrowded with underachievers, which I'm confused by her statistics here, but the insult of ragamuffins, beautiful.
Probably for a second, Riverdale has better than average test scores, not for 1 minute. All of these people, and it's not even because like, oh, the characters are never in school. I'm talking about the average Riverdale citizens. They don't care about the school.
They don't care. Also, we've seen these characters and they're, some of them are not so bright.
I don't know who's caring.
I would say a majority of them I don't see doing well on standardized tests.
Isn't that funny? I guess like Betty's supposed to be school smart. Like she's not really like the smart one, you know, of like, because like you usually get that in like high school shows. Like, oh, this character is like super smart.
She's like the closest thing to the smart one, but it's still like, yeah.
Anyway, so then back in the hallway, it's a kerfuffle between Veronica and Cheryl, and she's like calling out all the Southside people. So Tony is like, what are you calling us? And Tony wants to fight, but in a very winky face type of way.
It was a very winky face type of way. Archie is like, come on, guys, let's put aside our differences.
Boring.
Anyways, Reggie's like, you don't speak for the Bulldogs. Also, don't you remember literally 3 weeks ago when all of these people showed up at your house to beat your ass?
Fair point. Fair point. So anyway, the dudes are getting into it, and Monica, breaking them up, says, I'm so over the toxic masculinity in this hallway right now.
Oh, I love it. I'm obsessed.
Feminist girl boss Veronica Lodge.
So true.
And it's not actually effective, but then Weatherby comes out and is like, gets a class, so.
Yeah. I want to have a moment and discuss something. Because we've talked about like the weird racial coding, and we'll talk more about it later, of the serpents. And that's continued here. And this whole plotline has like strong racial integration energy.
Yes. Of
schools. And it's just very weird to me.
I don't know if I wish this, because I don't think Riverdale would handle it particularly well. But it would make more sense if the South Side was more diverse. Because like, yeah. It doesn't seem any more diverse. It's not like all white kids, but like Riverdale High is not all white kids either. So it like doesn't, like they don't seem, like one side doesn't seem that much more diverse than the other. So it is kind of like, what? Like, I feel like they could have just like had, it could have still been like just like the poorer school, and you could still have Jughead go there and stuff and still have all the gang stuff. But I think they didn't want to be like, only people of color are in gangs and Jughead.
Yeah, but then it still has like, and Jughead also this episode really pisses me off, but it still has like, the serpents are so clearly like racially coded. It's weird.
Yeah.
Anyways, it makes me a little uncomfy.
It's a little uncomfy.
Before the scene ends though, Reggie threatens Veronica and is like, you picked the wrong side. And Cheryl decides to blackmail Archie and is like, switch sides or I'll tell Veronica that I saw you kiss Betty on Christmas.
Like, okay. Cheryl doesn't even have a dog in this fight. Like, she's just Like, she doesn't want chaos at school. I don't know. I'm like, why?
Which doesn't make sense because she is an agent of chaos.
And, like, she's part of this chaos. Like, she was the one that created the initial chaos. Like, you think Reggie would really, like, start this? Like, he's just, like, following the hate train.
For real. I just love that, like, 3 episodes ago, they were all supporting the Serpents in a road race. And now she's like, how dare they come to our school?
It's messy. So then later, Archie texts Cheryl to meet up. And she's like, oh, so you're giving into my blackmail. but he's like, no, I'm not changing allegiance. But, like, maybe I can get you something else. Because he was actually texting about just getting info about Nick St. Clair. He apparently does not give a shit about Cheryl's threats. And he's like, Cheryl, in this conversation, reveals to Archie that Nick tried to assault Veronica as well. And, of course, that really makes Archie mad, and he says he's going to murder him. And Cheryl, it is, you do kind of feel bad for Cheryl, because she really did think that Archie already knew this. It wasn't her, like, trying to expose something. So she's like, oh, I really thought you knew.
Yeah. Anyways, it was sad. Then Betty meets with the social worker, and the social worker is like, oh yeah, as is usual, because that's how this works, which I don't actually think is how this works. All of the files were unsealed when he turned 18, which again, I do not think that's how that works, but, you know, convenient. And
I think I can choose.
Can you choose? Okay.
So he would be like, or because he was given up. Yeah, so they're trying to find him. So he doesn't necessarily, so later we find out that he was able to find where the Coopers live. So he got the information about who, like, his parents were. And so that is, like, the parents can choose when they're giving up the kid. Like, do you want to, like, tell them when they're 18, and then I believe the kid can also at 18 decide if he wants to make that public or, like, not.
Interesting. Okay. Anyways, so we find out that her brother's name is Charles Smith, and that he stayed in the foster care system forever. He wasn't adopted. And then she gives Betty his last known address.
Yes. So then we have the Southside High gang and the welcoming committee. And Kevin is so clearly into fangs.
Veronica is introducing herself to Tony. This is important to me. Veronica's introducing herself to Tony. And she says, hi, I'm Veronica. Veronica Lodge. And Jughead snidely beside her goes, of the Park Avenue Lodges. And it was just really funny to me. I was like, wow, Jughead really got her there.
He ate. And he's like, I don't even know what they're actually talking about. I just wrote down that Kevin is into fangs and that he knew Joaquin. It's
really not that important. They all just, like, are introducing themselves. Josie's like, I'm Josie. I was of the Pussycats and I'm no longer. And I was like, thanks for the plot recap, Josie. And then Kevin's like, I'm Kevin. And Fangs is like, oh, is your last name Keller? And he's like, yeah, how do you know that? And Fangs is like, oh, I hung out a lot with Joaquin. He talked about you a lot. And it was like, there were flirty vibes going on.
Yeah.
There's flirts. Flirts were happening. And then Weatherby shows up to Cockblock. And he's like, you all need to come with me now.
And yeah, the scene existed to be interrupted because someone painted a snake on the school seal, which is literally on the ground. And I'm like, if this school seal is so precious, like, why would you have it on the ground that people are walking? Like, it's just, like, tile as part of the hallway. So I don't know. But I guess it's important. Okay. And you're not supposed to vandalize it.
It's the energy of, I don't know if your schools had this, but I mean, a lot of schools had it. My school tried to do it, where you have, like, a thing on the floor that, like, students aren't allowed to walk on. And if you walk on, like, it's bad luck and you won't graduate or whatever the curse is.
That was not a thing.
So they, like, my junior year redid the entrance of my school, and they tried, like, they put in one, and they tried to make that a thing, we think because they didn't want to have to clean the floors, and no one cared, they just walked over it.
Yeah, yeah, I guess that's the vibe. So Weatherby is very mad, and he says, because, I mean, it's a snake, so he's like, there's no gang behavior will be allowed in Riverdale High. No serpent jackets, and all tattoos must be covered. Which at first I was just like, WTF, but then I remembered they all have serpent tattoos. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Then Betty talks to her parents and tells them that Polly had the twins. And Alice, like, immediately knows what's up. And she's like, she doesn't want us to be a part of their lives. Like, that's why she didn't tell us. And she gets really sad. But then Betty's also like, but I found Charles's address. And Hal's like, what the fuck? Why would you do this? This is so random and out of pocket. And Alice is like, calm down, Hal. But Betty, your father's right. But is that how she truly feels?
No. She's always lying.
She always lies to Hal. She just is like, Hal thinks something, I'm gonna think the opposite.
That's actually true. We get a quick scene of them at the White Worm. Jughead is big mad about no gang activity. He's like, they're trying to take away our skins. A serpent should shed their skin. I'm like, shut the fuck up, Jughead.
No, he's complaining to Fangs and Tony, and he's like, Principal Weatherby is profiling us, and Tony just gives him this, like, what the fuck are you even talking about right now? Look, it's so funny. And I think if she ever looked at me that way, I'd just instantly, like, crumble.
She and Sweet Pea are, like, okay with it. They're like, this is still a better school. Like, if we just have to take off our jackets during school hours, it's fine.
They're like, at least we're going to a school where they, like, actually teach us things. And we're, like, getting a better education. Significantly better than our previous situation, which again starts a theme throughout this episode that really, because the serpents are so, like, oddly racially coded, Jughead has such strong, like, white savior energy in this episode.
He's so insane, but he's, like, inserting himself into, like, it's not exactly white savior because he's like, they're profiling us.
Yeah,
like, they're trying to get us. And it's just, like, the white character is the most mad about this.
Yeah. That's where it's like, it feels weird.
Yeah. Cool.
Anyways, then Archie meets with Agent Adams again, and he tells him what he's learned about Nick. And then he thinks that might not be an accident. And Archie's like, I can tell you more, but first you need to agree that my dad's not going to get in trouble. So no matter what happens, he's not going to get in trouble. And Agent Adams is like, yeah, totally. Cool. Fred is off the table. So then he explains what he learned, and that Nick assaulted Veronica. And Agent Adams is like, you need to learn more. And she's like, well, I guess I could go talk to Nick, but I don't see how, like, that would work, because what if he gets back to everyone? And Agent Adams is like, oh, you just need a good cover story. And Archie's like, well, I might have a good one of those.
So Archie goes to Cheryl's, and he's like, do you want another, because she burned the check, like the hush money check that she got from the Sinclairs. And he's like, do you want another check? I just need to borrow one of Jason's blazers, which I was like, what is this scheme? And spoiler, he did not need to borrow one of Jason's blazers.
He really didn't. But yeah. Alice goes, wakes up Betty in the middle of the night and is like, I was lying. I do want to find Charles. You just can't tell your dad because he won't understand. And it was really short scene. Then Jughead shows up to school with his serpent jacket, despite being explicitly banned from doing so. Reggie's like, take it off, and calls him a rat boy.
Does that even mean? But it's true.
It's so true. Jughead is a rat boy. Jughead's like, you wouldn't understand because you have no sense of honor or history or loyalty.
Reggie's life. Frenchie do? I guess he's like trying to beat you up, but I don't know.
It's so funny to me. I was like, what the fuck are you even talking about, Jughead? What are you talking about? Remember last season when you were like vehemently anti this gang?
I just need to make a fashion note here. Is that so? Jughead, of course, is wearing his jacket, but he's rocking the flannel tied around the waist where it kind of looks like a skirt almost coming off. And like, so this is just a fashion statement because he's fully wearing a jacket. So like he could simply, he doesn't need the flannel as a second layer. Or if he's cold, you would wear the flannel and then put on the jacket. It's just for the look, and it's not a look.
He's trying to make it a look. Anyways, this turns into a fight because of course it does. I was confused. I was like, if I was the other serpents, I'd be like, Jughead, you're being fucking stupid. Like, you deserve this. But no. Anyways, Veronica walks by and is like, oh, fighting, and calls for Principal Weatherby. And then he gives them all a week's detention for fighting. And he's like, Jughead, take off the jacket or you're suspended. And Jughead goes, well, I guess I'm suspended, and just like walks out.
He thought he ate.
My favorite part is that before he says this, though, after Principal Weatherby's like, take off the jacket or you're suspended, Tony's like, Jughead, take the jacket off.
I'm just trying to convince him.
Fucking stupid, but he is.
He's stupid. We get a tiny, tiny scene of Archie getting dressed. No scheme. The lodges are concerned that the integration is going poorly, and they're like, Veronica, isn't this your whole job? And she's like, it's fine, but the Southsiders need to look the part to fit in at Riverdale. And I'm like, is this at all the issue? Like, is it? I don't think so. I think she literally just, because she just thinks of the last thing that she experienced, she saw Jughead get suspended for wearing his jacket, and she's like, maybe if they just look like us and dress like us, it'd be fine.
Yeah, obviously. That's how that works. Anyway, so she proposes a charitable donation to help out the fashionably misguided, is what she says.
Okay.
Alice and Betty go to Charles's last known address to look for him. And it's like a little seedy hotel-like place. They go up to the room and Charles is there. Alice introduces herself. And he's like, I already know who you are. The sisters gave me your address when I turned 18. And it's like, it gets sad really fast. And he's like, turns to Betty and is like, aren't you lucky that Alice actually wanted to keep you? And then he tells them to get lost because, he has a client on the way, and Alice tries to like connect still. And is like, oh, what kind of work do you do? And he says, I work in fantasy fulfillment.
I love that Riverdale's absolutely insistent on having like all of these characters doing sex work, but they can't say any of the terms for that.
No.
So they just say these ridiculous terms.
They have to find every single possible innuendo for being a prostitute without actually saying prostitute, because I don't think they're allowed to say prostitute.
Probably not. So then they kind of just get out, and Alice is crying in the car because she's very sad that her son doesn't want to get to know her. And this was the moment where I was like, oh, Alice, yeah. I love her. And then I was like, she actually didn't do anything. I just feel bad for her.
Yeah. I will say Alice's fit did slay in this scene. She's wearing like a lightly checkered jacket. It's like white-ish and grayish. It's like almost a blazer though. It's like that kind of jacket. And then she has a short black skirt and a like red, it almost looks like threaded shirt is how I would describe it. I don't know how to, it's like crisscrossing threads.
Yeah.
And like a small statement necklace and like a light blue Chanel looking bag. It was a look. It was very like Stepford Wives, but it was a look.
It was giving, I'm gonna go see the son that I gave up for adoption for the first time, lol.
It was very much giving, I'm a rich, respectable lady, going to deal with my past crimes.
We've all been there. Then we see at the White Worm, FP is mad because Jughead isn't in school, and he's like, Weatherby said we need to take off our skins. I'm like, okay, Jughead. Jughead, but the truth, we get to the truth of why Jughead is angsty, and he says, like, he finally had a home at Southside High, and, like, he at least fit in there, and FP, because they have to have a serpent, like, metaphor for everything, he's like, serpents hibernate in the winter. You think I like, and he does make a very good point, because he's still working as a waiter at Pops, and he's like, yeah. Do you think I like this? Like, serving for all these people who, like, think that I'm less than them? No, but I have to do it, because I have to, like, prove that I have a real job, and, like, stay out of jail, and all that stuff. So, he's like, do what you have to do, you'll always be a serpent, even if you can't wear your jacket at school.
Yeah, he's like, just take the jacket off for 8 hours, it's fine.
I do think it's hilarious that he's like, you'll always be a serpent, when literally last episode he was trying to get Jughead out of all the serpent activities.
Beautiful. Consistency. Anyways, then Archie breaks into Nick's dorm room and confronts him about Cheryl, and he's like, write another check because Cheryl lost hers, but this time for double the original amount. And he's like, fine, fuck it, give me my pocketbook. Like, I have checks over there. And then Archie's like, how did you get hurt anyways? And he's like, it was a skiing accident. And Archie says, you must really suck at skiing. No, wasn't supposed to, but it's just such a good burn.
It was, especially because we know damn well Archie Andrews has never been hitting the slopes. Like, he's like, this will make a rich person mad. How do I piss off rich people? Say he's bad at skiing.
It was so funny. Anyways, Nick is immediately suspicious, and he's like, why do you care how I got hurt? And Archie's like, I don't care. What do you mean? I'm just curious. So maybe he's not better than Veronica.
He was flopping there.
Yeah, but Nick's like, I don't think you really care. You're not here for Cheryl. And then he's like, I think you realized how deep in the shark pool you're in. Be careful. If Veronica smells blood, she will attack or something. And then Archie just beats the shit out of him.
Honestly, Archie Slade. Then we see Jughead is at school without a jacket. Tony, and then he walks in to the student lounge, and Tony and Sweet Pea are wearing, like, these uniforms. I don't know if they're official uniforms, because, like, they don't have to wear them, but they're, like, these little, like, polo-type, like, shirts, and especially on Tony, you're like, what? And...
See, I thought it was more for Tony than for Fangs or Sweet Pea.
Yeah, well, I guess they do have to wear them because they said that.
Yeah, they said that Fangs got suspended for refusing to wear it. And I was like, they could sue.
The North Siders are not forced to wear it. Like, schools can have uniforms, obviously, but, like, it has to apply to all students.
Yeah, it can't be, like, an option, like, only required for certain students, unless it's like I could see issues where, like, in this instance it could not be just applied to the South Side people coming in. Like, they could definitely sue. It's probably a First Amendment violation. Anyways, so then Veronica confronts Archie about what happened, because Nick's texted her and said, I wrote the text out, FYI, your insane boyfriend just ambushed me in my dorm room. He broke my nose and was foaming at the mouth. Hope you've had your shots. Which Nick kind of ate.
Not how high he ate. This is the opposite of he thought he ate, and he did.
He's full now.
They both got one good one in, so you know.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Chef's kiss.
Archie admits that it doesn't really admit why he was actually there, but he does admit that Cheryl accidentally told him that Nick tried to assault Veronica. So that's a very good, it's like a dual cover up, because he had to have a separate cover up for Nick, and then, but he has a cover up for Veronica that he was mad at Nick and wanted to beat him up.
Yeah.
And he was like, and then I was getting the money for Cheryl.
And Cheryl shows up to corroborate, just out of pure luck and circumstance, shows up in the doorway. And it's like, I did. I told him to go pay Nick a visit and get the money. She called Nick a staph infection of a human being, which she also ate. Like, everyone is doing good reads this episode.
I do think it's funny that she's like, yeah, I told him to go get the money. Like, it's not what happened. He suggested it, but... She's just down to protect Archie.
She is. And then Cheryl apologizes for telling Archie without Veronica's permission about what Nick did to Veronica. And Archie also apologizes for, you know, beating the shit out of someone.
Speaking of beating the shit out of someone, Betty, with the creepy little nightlight, is going to Chicks to... like, I don't give it to him, protect him with, like, I don't know, it's sentimental. But she gets there and this guy is beating him up and stabs him like in the shoulder, and that's the scene.
Betty pepper sprays him and they get away. Archie and Veronica talk at Pops, and he says again that he went Or then this time, Archie has a new story. And he says he went to visit Nick because Cheryl was blackmailing him. And he explains that Cheryl saw him kiss Betty on the night of the Black Hood. And he was like, it was just a crazy night. It means nothing. We were broken up. Like, there was a lot happening. Literally 40 minutes later, I was being buried alive. exact quote. And so he's like, there's a lot happening. And Veronica is like very clearly upset, but she grabs his hand. And she's like, I believe you. Thank you for being honest with me. They both say I love you and they kiss.
Archie's a snake boy. So then Betty gets home with Chick, and like all the Coopers are running around trying to help him because he's like bleeding profusely.
From where he was stabbed. Yeah. Jughead is in a classroom with the other serpents, and he's like, welcome to the first meeting of the Swords and Serpents Club. And they're like, what the fuck? So he explains he got Weatherby to Shinction, a gaming group where they essentially are playing D&D. And Tony's like, no, what is this actually? And he's like, it's a safe space for us to be ourselves right under everyone's noses. And I was like, okay, I don't know what you're doing here.
I don't understand, because it's not like Weatherby was like, you guys can't hang out. Like,
I know.
Fine.
I was like, this doesn't solve any of your issues, I don't think. Like, I don't, it only solves the imaginary issue that Jughead made up in his mind.
They literally were like, we need a resolution for this. So they just came up with that.
It was like, none of the other serpents cared about what Jughead cared about. They were all just like, we're excited to be going to a new school with, like, resources. And Jughead was like, no, our home. And this is why Jughead pissed me the fuck off this episode and had, like, such strong white savior energy, because he's like, I'm solving the issues for, like, these poor oppressed people. And the oppressed people are like, we don't care about this.
No. Even know what the true issues are. I need to go home and save them.
And that's why he has white savior energy this episode. And again, it's because the serpents are so weirdly racially coded, and this whole plot line is like weirdly racially coded about school integration.
Yeah. Then we see Cheryl at home. She's like, has the check, and she's like, blood money from the Sinclairs. She's so excited about it. And she's like, and you don't even have to burn it this time. Like, she, and it actually is wholesome. Actually, because she literally did this so that she's like, and now you can stop now because we have money. Like, we can be okay. And she, Penelope is like, well, why would I stop? She's like, I'm having such a good time. This is her biological daughter. Like, this is her. She gave birth to this girl. You don't need to say this stuff to her.
It's just so funny to me. She was like, do you want me to stop being a prostitute? Well, you're never gonna get it. Like,
guess what? Which I, it is partially like they're just so at each other all the time. Like, they always need to be fighting. So Penelope is like, I'm winning. Like, I'm totally getting to her. Cheryl's so mad, which is so, it's like an additional layer of it being fucked up.
It is. Anyways, then Alice is tucking Chick in, and she's like, get some rest. Well, I know there's a lot of things to sort out. We'll get those all sorted. Don't worry. And he's like, good night, Alice and Hal. And she's like, don't worry, you'll be safe here. And then he like turns over and just stares at the creepy ass nightlight. That's what I wrote in my notes.
It is like actually spooky. And we see Archie and Veronica in bed, of course. Yeah. Goes without saying. And he was like, why didn't you tell me about Nick though? And she's like, I only told Kevin and Cheryl, and like they were there to save me. Like, I didn't want you to go all crazy on him. And yeah, so Archie is feeling sentimental after this. So then he's talking to Agent Adams, and he's like, I also want protection for Veronica before I ever help you again. And the Agent Adams is like, okay, like obviously they're not going after Veronica. And Archie, he's like, as an FBI expert, I have this eerie feeling about the Black Hood. Do you think we got the right guy? And Agent Adams is like, I don't know, maybe he knows nothing about this case. So he's kind of just like,
he was like, you've been following me, so you know about the Black Hood, right? And Agent Adams was like, yeah. And I'm like, how long have you been following this man?
I don't think he knows that much about the Black Hood. Obviously, no, he knows about the Black Hood because it was a serial killer in the town he was living in. But anyway, Archie says that he's not so sure that they did.
Yeah.
Dot, dot, dot.
Jughead begins starting his narration for the closing episode. Closing of the episode, Chick gets up and just like stands in the doorway of Betty's room while she sleeps. And Jughead's narration is like, Betty caught one monster, but did she let another one into her life? Dun, dun, dun.
Spooky, I don't know. This was such a good episode.
It was. And yeah, that's how the episode ends.
I was entertained. Any other comments on the episode?
I don't know. It was a good episode. Is, as I said, more on like the teen drama-y side for Riverdale, which, you know, is not always my favorite.
That is always my favorite.
But it was still fun. I love the like insane, crazy plot points. And we didn't have a whole lot of those this episode.
Can we just pause for a second? Because I know you're not watching the season 7, the final season of Riverdale. You need to start. Like, you actually do. Because I feel like this is going to be like a cultural... Like, now, don't think I'm crazy. This is actually going to be, like, I don't know if it's the ending. It's not yet. No one's talking about it. No one's watching the season 7 season of Riverdale, other than
me. No one is watching season 7 of Riverdale.
But there are things are happening, Evan, and you will like piss your pants. Like, I am not, it's not just like crazy Penelope deciding to be a prostitute type of drama. I'm talking like, this shit is gonna be wild, and I'm just so fascinated on how they're gonna end this, because they are starting things that I don't think they want to finish. So anyway, if you're not watching season 7 Riverdale, get on it. That's my plug for the show that we're discussing. They obviously need the plug. What was your outfit of the episode?
I think mine was Alice's Stepford Wives fit.
Nice. Mine was Cheryl in her knitted dress. I just thought when she was walking, because it was like all red in the hallway, I was like just thinking when she's like, I own the color red in Riverdale. That happens later, but she's still flame. And my quote was literally my next note, that is, Veronica is so over the toxic masculinity in this hallway right now.
Mine is definitely, FYI, your insane boyfriend just ambushed me in my dorm. He broke my nose and was foaming at the mouth. Hope you've had your shots.
XOXO!
XOXO, Gossip Girl. It really does have Gossip Girl energy. That text.
Okay, who should we do for Kinsey Scale?
Who's
in this episode? I'm looking at who we have. Oh, should we do Penelope?
Yeah, let's do Penelope.
She was making waves in this episode. Let me think. Okay. I feel like this is kind of obvious.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3.
Oh!
Oh! Not obvious. Okay, we're doing Kinsey Scale, which is the heterosexuality to homosexuality scale from 0 to 6. Penelope Blossom, I said 2, and Evan said 0. So, clearly not obvious.
That is a heterosexual woman. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Penelope is just, she's very heterosexual in her practices. Let's see. She was like so pissed at Clifford when he died, killed himself. And I think if she.
Sorry, interrupting you.
Oh, yeah, go off.
I 100% forgot about how homophobic she is later.
And I was like, I didn't know if we were going to, I should bring that up, but I was like, also things develop later. And that is not a header. Like, that is nothing but a heterosexual woman.
I was thinking of only this episode, but I'm still gonna keep a 1, okay? Because she is doing all of this stuff. Like, you can't imagine that she would be absolutely opposed to if one of her clients was like, no, I'm gonna have a threesome with like my wife and me. Like, I feel like she would do it.
She would probably do that.
But she's very homophobic.
But she's so deeply homophobic. Point. Like, so deeply homophobic.
Yeah. Oh, Penelope. Yeah, fair enough. Anything else? And not even,
like, in an Alice LOL, she's kind of homophobic way. Like, in a deeply homophobic way.
Yeah. What else? God bless America. I'm seeing Taylor Swift tomorrow, everyone. So wish me luck. Oh, that's
so much fun. Oh, are you staying up for Speak Now tonight?
Probably not.
My friends are trying to convince me to, and I was like, girl, I have to wake up for work.
I'll listen to it tomorrow morning because we're not gonna leave until like 10, so I can listen.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Go on a morning walk and listen.
Did you hear about the lyric change?
Yes.
How do you feel?
Here's the thing, I don't like, obviously I didn't want her to do that because like who actually cares, but I'm also, people are like too much like, oh my gosh, she changed the lyric, I'm gonna be streaming the stolen version, and it's like, okay, calm the fuck down. Like, yeah, I'm kind of like, not indifferent, but it's like, okay, if she didn't do that, people would be mad. And if she did that, people would be mad.
Yeah, like, that's my thing. That's why I'm like, I'm kind of just like annoyed that she's changing it. Cause I'm like, either way, people are gonna be mad. Also, even with the changed lyric, like, deep down, the song is still very misogynistic. Like, that doesn't change it just because, like, the most obviously offensive line was changed. There's still, like, such a strong misogynistic undertone to it. And, like, my biggest issues with the song as, like, misogynistic doesn't change at all, even with the new lyrics. Like, it's kind of worse with the new lyrics.
Yeah. I think it's like, maybe not as slut-shamey and more just like, oh, she's manipulative. But someone did point out that I never thought about, you know, the You Belong With Me, I wear, she wears short skirts,
I wear t-shirts.
I never thought about that because I just thought she was
that
being like, I'm not like other girls. Like, I just wear t-shirts. Like, they wear skirts because they're girly, but it is like short skirts. So I'm like,
yeah,
you were doing this. You're committed to this.
There's like five other metaphors she uses throughout the song to low-key slut shame her, and it's still deep down a song where she's blaming a man or a woman for a man leaving her.
And my biggest issue with people being mad about it is like, if you are like, because it's not even about, it's like about Joe Jonas, which was when she was like 18.
Yeah, no, I'm like,
and it's like, okay, if you're an 18-year-old girl and your boyfriend breaks up with you and immediately starts dating this other girl, you cannot, like, you can be mean to her. Like, you don't have to, like, best. Like, I feel like people are just so, like, oh, like, it's so wrong to feel this way. And it's like, no, have you ever been, like, she was a teenage girl. Sometimes teenage girls aren't, like, the most emotionally mature beings of all time. Like, you cannot like her.
I'm like, A, the people who are out here, like, trying to cancel her over the song, just grow up. It would be really easy for her to just put out a statement that's like, or put out a statement that's like, I wrote this when I was 18. I've evolved and changed since then, but this is how I felt then. And like, it's a true representation of my feelings. Or like, one of my friends was like, I think she only changed it so she doesn't have to perform it with that line live. And it's like, A, you could either just change that line when you perform it live. Like, that's an option. Or before you perform it live, you could do, she's Taylor Swift, she does cheesy shit all the time. She could do something really cheesy and be like, this was how I was feeling when I wrote this at 19, and I was young and immature, and I've grown since then. But you know what? Now it's time to sit in the corner and think about what you did, and like launch into the song. And like, it would work so well.
It's just not that deep.
It's anyway, truly not this that was, deep.
This is your Taylor Swift corner.
Really went off topic there.
Have a fantastic week, Riverdale heads who are clearly watching season 7. Bye.
You can reach out to us. Let us know what your thoughts are on the episode. We'd love to hear from you. Hear what your favorite iconic fits of the episode or your favorite quotes of the episode are. You can reach out to us at Cheryl'sBWords@gmail.com. Or you can tweet at us at Cheryl's Bitches, or find us on Instagram at Cheryl's Bitches and TikTok at Cheryl's Bitches as well. So that is Cheryl'sBWords@gmail.com if you want to send us an email, and Cheryl's Bitches on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Check us out, please.